You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, the seemingly biggest story surrounding the Marlins the past couple of days has nothing to do with the roster and has to do with the ballpark. Let's talk a little bit about the fences. What's the thought process as they apparently are serious about moving them in and or making them shorter?
In year four, the organization is kind of willing to budge on what is, you know, arguably the most difficult ballpark in baseball to hit a home run. Not only are the dimensions quite large, the ball just doesn't carry, you know, very well in South Florida and in that ballpark particularly. And David Sampson, team president, is open to, you know, moving them in. Now, the All-Star Game's coming in a couple of years in 17, and the Home Run Derby, of course, is a huge showcase. And, you know, I think they'd like the park to play a little more fairly by the time that happens. And they're considering it. You know, I know David's been talking to a lot of the offensive players who are, you know, making their case. And, you know, some of the numbers kind of speak, you know, for themselves. You know, they're, you know, among the last place in home runs in their own ballpark. That park itself is. And since the park opened up in 2012, not only have home runs been low, but doubles have been low. And, you know, the feeling was with the big gaps that there'd be a lot of, you know, doubles, if not homers. But what you're kind of seeing what defenses are doing is they're basically regular depth is kind of no doubles in most parks. And teams will give up the flares and the bloops to run balls down the gaps. Obviously, if you hit anything really well, you'll get, you know, rewarded. But the middle of this field, there's more outs that are in the 410 to 420 range than I've ever seen in any ballpark. And even the old ballpark, which when the Marlins played at Sun Life, which went out to 434, the ball just carried differently there. And, you know, here things are getting run down that have a lot of hitters very flabbergasted.
I guess what I wonder is what has changed. I mean, we sort of know the city's at sea level, so that's sort of step one. That means that even with the heat and humidity, the ball's not going to travel like it does some places. That's just sort of basic physics. Even a neutrally sized park will probably play tough to hit in. This is a big park with big fences. What has happened now that makes this something they want to do when maybe it wasn't something they wanted to do when it opened or over the previous couple of years?
Well, I think in general, Matthew, they're looking at to give it three or four years, just to, you know, just to kind of let it play its course. You know, obviously some other ballparks, City Field, Safeco, Petco, have all had faces, you know, fences come in recent years. And, you know, obviously the signing of Giancarlo. You know, when Stanton signed, it was, you know, it came up in the discussions. No one's getting too much into specifics, if any specific promises were made, but, you know, it wasn't written into the contract that the fences would come in. But you have, you know, one of the, if not the premier home run guy in the game in terms of, you know, putting on a power display and, you know, try to make him, you know, not be as punished as some other hitters. And also, you know, they're seeing the fact that, you know, you got Ozuna and Yelich, you know, who two regular outfielders and Stanton, they came into the year thinking this was as good an outfield as there is in the game and certainly the National League. And Ozuna and Yelich have a combined two home runs at Marlins Park, one apiece. And, you know, even with Ozuna spending more than a month in AAA, that's still a staggeringly low number for a guy who had 23 last year. Plus, outside of Stanton, I think Stanton has like 60 home runs or something like that in Marlins Park since it opened. The next highest of any player is 13 by Ozuna. It's just, you know, the ballpark, you know, the offensive players, you know, this year is as frustrating as it's been for everybody involved. I've seen more players, helmet throws, you know, hands go up in disgust, hitting the ball seemingly out of reach and it being run down at 415 range. So I think a combination of that, that the players are kind of making an argument that they're almost having two approaches, a road approach and a home approach. And by by the time they kind of adjust to the road, they're coming back home. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that I'm hearing in private conversations with these guys that that show that they don't feel they're being rewarded in the middle of the field, which most hitters are kind of, you know, raised and trained to do effectively. Obviously, if you pull the ball, you have a better chance of getting it out. And, you know, those aren't always the most ideal swings if the pitch isn't geared for that. So I just think it's kind of time. On top of that, you also noted the height of the fences. They go 11.5 feet to 13. And, you know, just simply lowering them a couple of feet not only would bring the exciting play of the potential robbed home run into Marlins Park, but, you know, guys would also be, you know, rewarded a little bit more if, you know, they do hit it a pretty good distance.
Speaking of Giancarlo Stanton, how far away is he? How soon will we be seeing him in big league games again?
I think next week's podcast, we're going to be right about that time. It's about September 4th. It's kind of the unofficial official date. You know, Giancarlo said the other day he was looking at about 10 days. Well, that was coming at pretty much the conclusion of the road trip the team's about to go on to Washington and Atlanta. And then they open at home on September 4th against the Mets. And I think that the plan is to open them, you know, get them returned at home. And it just so happens that that looks to be the time frame, and I believe that's the target date. Interesting here, Matthew. Obviously, the minor league seasons are running out of time, but Giancarlo kind of insists he does not want any type of rehab game. He's basically getting timing down off of a pitching machine that he's setting at 95 plus or whatever, or to simulate as much as big league pitching. I find that kind of curious. Partly, I don't think he wants to risk anything in a rehab assignment game facing an A ball or double A pitcher at this point. I think he's just, you know, is been hitting for a while. It's just a matter of hitting pain-free over a sustained period of time, and he's certainly approaching that right now.
Sort of, it is that kind of injury update time, as we have done a lot on this particular podcast this year. Is there anything new to report on Jose Fernandez and whether he expects to be pitching in big league games before the year is out?
He does, Matthew. He's very adamant that if healthy, he will pitch. He threw a bullpen. I think he's thrown one on, you know, the last day in Miami on Thursday, but he's thrown like flat ground bullpens, and those have gone well. He's going to be off the mound, and everything is a progression there. The injury was not a serious one. It was an alarming one because of all he's been through and being extremely cautious. So there's no fear of, you know, that he's got a rotator or anything like that. That's a, you know, could be a very big issue. And it's just a matter of building up. I'm still believing the September 14th, 15th in that range would be my guess the earliest he comes back. I still think two or three starts are very likely before we wrap this season up.
And then one other guy that's kind of flown under the radar relative to those two, but I think it's fair to say will be a really big part of things if this is a successful team next year, and that's Jared Cosart. How's he coming along?
The same. You know, he threw a Gulf Coast League game on a backfield. I actually went up to Jupiter to watch that at 10 in the morning on a Saturday just to personally see him as well rather than just get a report because – he was so alarmingly off, Matthew, in his last few starts in terms of not being able to throw a strike and behind pretty much every hitter and just being forced to groove things and dealing with the vertigo inner ear disorder that's been diagnosed, just to see his bounce on the mound and how he would throw. And he looked really good, you know, for 40, 45 pitches, whatever it was. Now it's a matter of building up, getting into – he will get a Florida State League game or two with the Jupiter Hammerheads. And I think after probably about two rehab assignment games, being in a little more structured game environment, I think you'll see him in another week or so.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras. And thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.